If you would, join me in the book of Proverbs. We're going to continuing on our series on texts that, if applied, could change your life. And we've been on a series within this series on the tongue. Our tongues are powerful. With them we praise God. With them we hurt each other. We can't live with them. We can't live without them, right? How boring would life be if we didn't have tongues? Taste food, fellowship with each other. The tongue is very important. But as we've been reminded, the tongue is very powerful and it can be very destructive. You know, the Proverbs has a lot to say about the tongue. When pastor said, hey, Paul, I want you to preach while I'm gone on the Proverbs and the verses that have to relate to the tongue. So I started doing a little bit of research. Okay, let's see, how many Proverbs are there that deal with just the tongue? So I put the tongue in to my software program, about, I don't remember, somewhere in the 30s. I thought, oh, that's doable. Come up with a sermon on 30 verses. And I thought, you know what, just out of curiosity, I wonder how many of the Proverbs talk about lips. You know, what's on our lips? And then like another 30 came up. And then I put in the mouth, and even more came up. The Proverbs, just alone, there was more than 80 verses, closer to 100, that have to deal with our mouths, our tongues, our lips. That's just the Proverbs. We could go to Psalms, and I started just looking into Psalms, and I was like, oh my goodness, we could spend a long time. And I challenge you to look at these verses in your own time and study them out for yourself. You know, on April 10th, 1912, there was a steamship, the biggest that was ever known to mankind, called the Titanic. And it was setting out across the Transatlantic Ocean from Southampton, England to New York City. Many of you know the tale, right? The Titanic set sail. It was the biggest boat ever. They're going to cross. And what happened? The Titanic hit an iceberg. What most people don't realize is how many warnings the crew of the Titanic ignored. There was warnings given by other ships. There was warnings given to the captain himself. But they were out to prove something. That this ship is unsinkable. And they wanted to set a record. They wanted it to be the fastest record to travel from England across the Transatlantic Ocean. They wanted to have the fastest time. And they were well on pace to setting that record. And then tragedy struck. Why? Because they were neglecting to be watchful. They were neglecting to be watchful. Rumor has it that the guy who was supposed to be on post that was watching and receiving messages from other ships was using the ship's communication system to communicate all the wealthy people on the ship to their family members at home. And he was ignoring the commands given from other ships, that the warnings that there's ice ahead and that there's danger. And they were convinced that this ship was unsinkable. You know, this is kind of humorous, but not really. And in some ways, we treat our lives the same way. Oh, I'll never do that. I'll never say that. We need to be careful when we start thinking things like that, because we're not being watchful. We are in a sea that's not infested with ice, but is infested with temptation. And despite the danger, many Christians have a casual attitude towards their tongues and towards many temptations, for that matter. They have the attitude that this will not happen to me. That attitude towards sin is what caused the Titanic to sink, and it's caused many a man or woman to fall in their walk with God. You're never at a point in your Christian life where you can sit back, kick up your feet, and say, I don't have to learn anymore. The moment you stop being a student is the moment you are in danger. We need to watch our tongues. Christian read for us this morning, Proverbs 21:23 says, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. Whoever guards his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from trouble. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. God takes what we say with our mouths very seriously, and he wants us to guard our words. Three truths that we're gonna need to understand about our tongues from the Proverbs. First of all, an unrestrained tongue destroys. Proverbs 10:6. If you would turn to Proverbs 10, we're gonna look at several verses on the tongue here in Proverbs 10. We're gonna be throughout the Proverbs, so hold on, but we're gonna start in Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10:6 says, "Blessed are the head of the righteous. The violence covers the mouth of the wicked." Jumping down to verse 8, the wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. Verse 11, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. 13, wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. And here's the verse I want to focus on in this section. Wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The mouth of the foolish is near destruction. And then it says in Proverbs 13:3, which is very similar to the verse in Proverbs 21:23, "He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction." The very same word we saw in Proverbs 10 of the wise and the foolish. The foolish mouth is near destruction. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Proverbs 18:6-7. A fool's lips enter into contention. His mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his destruction. And his lips are the snare of his soul. That word destruction that we just saw in Proverbs 18, Proverbs 13, and Proverbs 10. That means to ruin, to break, bring terror. This is what happens to those who don't restrain their tongues. Destruction. Terror. Remember, most of the Proverbs was written by one of the wisest men that ever lived. Not all, but a lot of them are written by Solomon himself. And a lot of times the Proverbs will start off with Solomon begging his child or his children to listen, to heed his instructions. The wisest man was telling us that we need to guard our mouths because our mouths are great weapons and they can do destructive things. Clearly, as we have seen, the Proverbs teach that an unrestrained tongue leads to destruction. Open mouth equals destruction. Open, that word that we just saw there in Proverbs 18. A fool's mouth is destruction. His lips are a snare of his fool. Actually, it's not in that. It's actually in 13:3. But he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. That word open means unrestrained. And unfortunately, this is happening. Not only do we see it in our world, but we see it in believers because they're not taking this warning to restrain, to guard our tongues very seriously. And too many people are making the Disney Frozen theme song their phrase for their tongues. Let it go, let it go. Just say whatever comes to your mind. Let them know that you do not like their kind. I don't care what they're going to say. Their feelings never bothered me anyway. That is very humorous. I didn't think I was going to sing it, but, you know, I thought, why not? I got a little girl. I listen to this song all the time. I could sing you the whole song if you'd like. I actually thought about going through the whole song and making it along my theme, but I thought, you know, this could take a long time. As humorous as this is, it's not so humorous. We just let whatever comes to our minds flow and go, and we destroy people with our mouths. We need to be careful. We need to guard our tongues. Because more often than not, we're just letting our words go and we're bringing destruction into our lives and into our relationships and into our church. More often than not, instead of speaking, we just need to keep silent and we need to listen. Some of our words are chosen. Some of us are in our minds are already thinking about ways that we can ignore these instructions of this Proverbs. We're justifying our words. be careful, because if we go back to Proverbs 10, after we just looked at these series of commands about watching our tongues and the destruction that comes, he says in Proverbs 17, he who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. Whoever hides hatred, whoever hides hatred has lying lips. Whoever spreads slander is a fool. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is silver choice. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous freed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. In the multitude of words, that's a verse to memorize. Sin is not lacking. In the abundance of words, he who restrains his words is wise. We need to guard our tongues because unrestrained tongues bring destruction. They ruin our relationships. Proverbs 11:9, the hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge the righteous will be delivered. Proverbs 4:24, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. We need to guard our tongues because unrestrained tongues lead to destruction. It leads to deceitful and perverse lips, as the Proverbs say. And why do we need to be careful about deceitful and perverse lips? It's interesting, but in Proverbs 6, in verses 16 and following, it says six things the Lord hates. Did you know out of the six of those things that are listed, four of them have to deal with your mouth? Four. One of them I want to focus on. One of the six things the Lord hates is a proud look and what? A lying tongue. We need to be careful with our tongues because an unrestrained tongue is destructive. Stop and think with me for just a moment about your tongue, about your lips. How have you used them this past week? Understand, I believe this applies to everyone. You know, somebody like myself who's an extrovert, I tend to speak a lot of times before I think. Someone who's an introvert maybe doesn't just babble, they think about things, but in their minds they're thinking about things that they probably shouldn't. We need to understand that it says in Matthew 12:36, Jesus says this, but I say to you that every idle word, that's I mean every word that's thought, idle means accomplishes nothing. Every idle word, every thought you think that men may speak, they will give an account of in the day of judgment. You're going to give an account for the thoughts that you think. You may not be an extrovert who struggles with your tongue, but you may struggle with your mind in the thoughts that you think towards other ones, other people. And as it says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. We need to watch our thoughts. So how have you used your lips or your thoughts this week with your family? You know, they say home is where the heart is, but home is also where you let your hair down. I have to let a lot. Pastor Dave lets a lot of hair down too. But it's a description to describe what we do when we get home. We say things and we do things to our family that we would never say to someone else. Why? Because they have to live with us. How are your words at home? Are they unrestrained? Are you causing a lot of damage? Are you justifying your harsh words? How about with your friends? Sometimes we even let our hair down a little bit with our friends. When your friend does something or says something that you don't like, are you quick to tell them about their faults and their failures? How do you respond? How about this? What about with your coworkers? How are you doing with your thoughts in your tongue with your coworkers? When your coworker gets under your skin for the millionth time, is it time that you just say, you know what, I'm going to let him know? Does two wrongs justify? No, two wrongs never make it right, right? We need to restrain our tongues. Unrestrained tongues destroy. Let's go to the second point here from our Proverbs. We're going to see that not only does a restrained tongue destroy, but an unrestrained tongue destroy, but a restrained tongue promotes life. That's the second thing. Back in Proverbs 10, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but the violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Proverbs 12, 13. The wicked is ensnared by the transgressions, by the sins of his lips, of his mouth, but the righteous will come through trouble. Proverbs 13, the second two verses, 2 and 3. A man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. We already looked at that one. That word guard that we see there, he who guards his mouth, means to watch over, it means to keep, it means to protect. We are to watch over, to protect, to closely examine our words, like a mother does for her own young. Protection, guard. When I was at Faith, I had the opportunity, I was on maintenance, and we used to mow a lot of lawns. And every spring, without doubt, there was a mother goose that would lay eggs right next to the pond. And I'd have to mow next to that nest. And without fail, every year, I'd have to stay 2 or 3 feet away, because if I got within a foot, that goose would come up and literally, she would risk her life for her young. She would, have you ever been hit by a goose wing? It feels like you got punched in the face. They got some power. Stay away from them. My boss was just like, just leave it alone. Don't. I'm like, but it looks so terrible. I want to get up next to the nest. We'll mow it when she leaves. That mother would risk her life for the sake of her young. She's guarding them. She's protecting them, no matter the cost. A lot of moms are like that, even in this church. Protect my young. That's good. But we need to take that same principle, that same idea of guarding, and we need to put it towards our mouths. That same type of intensity we're to have with our words. We're to watch over our words closely. We must think before we speak, as we saw in Proverbs 10:19, because in a multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. If we don't restrain our lips, as we've already stated, will destroy. Watch. Be on guard. Turn to Proverbs 15. Some more truths here that we need to keep in mind while we're trying to restrain our words. Proverbs 15 and verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. How many of you have this verse memorized? I bet a lot of you do. A soft answer, turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. When someone is upset with you, the best way to diffuse the situation is with a soft answer. This isn't just written here, so this is a good proverb. This is something that actually works. Just a couple weeks ago, I went to the Family Dollar in DeRider, and I was going to pull in, and I pulled in behind a truck, and this truck, I didn't know what he was doing. I was just really confused, so I pulled into a parking space. Little did I know that he had pulled forward, and he was actually planning on backing into the very parking space that I pulled in. You imagine, all of a sudden I see him, and then he parks, and then he gets out, and I'm like, oh man, I just did something I should not have done. What do I do now? I'm not going to go in the store. I'm going to stay out here. I went in the store. I saw the individual. I walked up to him, and I said, hey, I'm really sorry. At first, I thought he was going to punch me in the face. And you should have seen his face go from just complete wrath and anger to, I said, hey, I was really foolish. I didn't realize what you were doing. I was being too hasty. I apologize. And he goes, oh. He just caught himself for a minute. He said he was taken back. And he goes, oh, I do that stuff all the time. You're all right. It happens. It just goes to prove this is true. But we need to remember this, because what is our natural reaction when we're the one that gets cut off? When somebody backs into the spot we're trying to back in, we want to let that person know. Beep! What are you doing? All Christian testimony goes out the window. We would be wise to remember this principle when we're driving. Verse 4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. If we're not careful, we can break someone's spirit with our tongues. Breaks the spirit. We need to be careful with our joking, Sometimes we say things in joking. And you know what? I've always, it seems to be true that every time someone says a joke, there's a seed of truth in that joke. There's a seed of seriousness. And you're picking on someone and putting them down. You need to be careful about joking. How are you doing at restraining your words? How are you doing with your jokes? Proverbs 15:23. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Here's a positive verse about the impact of positive words. Words spoken at the right time can make a world of a difference, but words spoken in the wrong season, at the wrong time, can cause a world of hurt. More often than not, sometimes the best thing to say is nothing at all. Just being there sometimes says it all. So how are you doing at restraining your words? Do you find yourself always having to say your piece? I just got to let them know that they're wrong. If so, you might be doing more harm than good. Do you take seriously the command given in Proverbs 13:3 to guard your tongue? As vigilantly as a mother guards her young, do you vigilantly guard your tongue? Do you take it seriously? Think, I don't struggle that bad. I only hurt people every now and again. We need to restrain our tongues. Third principle we see, the third truth we see, if we're going to guard our tongues, is that a wise person is controlled, whereas the fool is unleashed. No doubt every person wants to be wise, right? Everyone wants to be known who's a wise person. Hence why we spend our entire lives. You say, I don't want to be wise. We spend our entire lives learning. We go to school, we get an education, we go to college, we get a career. We never stop learning. And the moment you stop learning is the moment you're a fool. Because you're never all-knowing. The only person that's all-knowing is God. And so we're always learning, and we will always learn. Do you realize that when we get to heaven, even though we have perfect bodies, we'll continue to learn? We're going to spend eternity learning the scriptures and the truths about God. We'll always be learning. You're never too old to learn. And you've never reached a moment where you have all the knowledge that you can just give up in learning. We need to keep seeking to become better students. Throughout the Proverbs, there's a description of the wise, those who are seeking to learn, and the fool. Let's look at several of them. We've already mentioned some in Proverbs 10. Let's go back to some of them. Proverbs 10 in verse 8. Look at this. We're looking for the wise and the fool. Where a wise is controlled, a fool is unleashed. A wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. When someone gives a command, a precept or instruction, do you receive it? Do you receive the command? Do you consider it? A wise person does. But a prating, a babbling fool doesn't heed instruction, and he will fall and be destroyed. If you want to be wise, you want to guard your mouth, you need to be willing to heed instruction. Proverbs 10:13, wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. Wisdom. Proverbs 17 and 18. He who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. He who restrains his lips is wise. That restrain means to keep, to hold back. It's very much this, what we've been talking about. We're wise when we restrain. When someone does something or says something to you that upsets you, do you restrain your words? It takes wisdom to refrain and to hold your tongue. It takes the help of the Lord to bridle the tongue. Because we saw last week, no man is able to bridle the tongue. Proverbs 20 and 21 of this very chapter, the tongue of the righteous is silver choice. The heart of the wicked is worth little. Lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. So many proverbs that say this very same thing. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom. That's verse 31 of this chapter. But the perverse tongue will be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. Turn with me to Proverbs 14:3. We're going to continue on this wise and fool pattern here. Proverbs 14:3, in the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. Proverbs 15, it seems like Proverbs 10 and 15 have a ton to say about the tongue. Proverbs 15:2, after we learned that a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of the fool pours forth foolishness. 15:7, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the fool does not do so. Continuing on in this very chapter, verse 14, the heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of the fool feeds on foolishness. 28, the heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. Do you study words for your answers? Or do you foolishly pour forth evil? You may be justified in your response to evil done to you, but you would be wise to think before you speak. Because two wrongs never make a right, and a fool is one who pours forth what comes out of his mind. Proverbs 16:1. I love this verse. The preparation of the heart belongs to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. The preparation of your heart belongs to you, the man, and the Lord is the one that gives the answer. But the question is, are you preparing your heart? It's our responsibility to prepare our hearts. True preparation comes from godly responding to situations in life. It comes from being under the influence of the Word of God and allowing God's Word to influence you. That's how you prepare your heart to speak rightly. If you want to respond rightly and not as a fool, be in God's Word. So many times we want to live by the Spirit. We want to be Spirit-filled. We wonder why we struggle with the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and we're not being in God's Word. If you're not Spirit-fed, you cannot be Spirit-led, and that comes to your words as well. You want to have a tongue that's guarded and speaks good words, you need to be in God's Word. What is influencing your heart will be evidence in your speech. As it says in Luke 6:45, a good man out of good treasure brings forth good things, and an evil man out of evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Our words are a reflection of our hearts. That's what Luke is telling us in Luke, really the Lord, 6:45. What are your words? Our words are an indication of where our hearts are at. If our words are always putting others down and lifting self up, our hearts are being unwise. If our thoughts are always negative towards others, this is an indication where our hearts are at, and it's not good. So evaluate your heart. Remember this week that your words indicate your heart. And as it says in 16:23 of Proverbs, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Proverbs 19:1, better is the poor who walks in integrity than he who is perverse in his lips as a fool. Proverbs 22:17-18, incline your ear and hear the words of the wise. Apply your heart to my knowledge, for it is a pleasant thing. For if you keep them within you, let them be fixed upon your lips. What will be said today of you, Christian? Are you a wise? Are you a fool? What do your words indicate about your heart? Is there work to be done? What does your devotional life look like? If you want words to be seasoned with grace, you need to be spending time in the Word of God. We need to take seriously the battle that we're in with our own words and our own temptations to sin with our words. Because if we don't take seriously the icy waters of temptation that we're in as believers, we might find ourselves hitting an iceberg. We might find ourselves doing things and saying things that we wish we'd never have said. And we can cause a lot of damage. We need to guard our tongues. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this reminder from the book of Proverbs of the tongue and how important it is to guard our tongues. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to be students of your word. Never stop learning, always increasing to become more like you. We pray that you'd help us to be slow to speak. Lord, slow to become upset, quick to listen. Help us to guard our words, Lord. Thank you so much for this opportunity to open your word today. I pray that there's somebody here that has never accepted you by faith, that, Father, that first of all, they'd realize the most important thing they can do with their mouth is profess that you are Lord and accept you by faith. I pray that they would do that today. And for all of us who do know you, we'd go forth and we'd seek to bring honor and glory to you this week. In Jesus' name, amen.